the Yak Babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast sponsored by books, officially. The only one about books, really, you know, as well. My name is Aaron. I'm here with my personal pals, Dave.
Sponsored by comic books, too, I think.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Old books. And Brick.
Not sure comic books are real books.
Oh, my God. Boy. This is going to be an issue. This is the conclusion of our first round of Comics Club. We started this a while back when we first started the podcast. The intention was to read a couple comics serially, as opposed to reading them in collections and discuss them as we went along, replicating as close as possible the experience of being a comics reader. And the books we chose were Paper Girls and Shade the Changing Girl. And we've reached the end of our series. We're doing kind of a different recording here. We've been doing two issues at a time, but as we were reading Paper Girls, we came upon issue 10 as a nice sort of closing point for that series. We were going to end at issue 12, but those last two issues actually begin a new arc, so it kind of makes sense to end there. And then Shade actually ends officially at issue 12. So we'll discuss issues 9 through 12 of Shade and issues 9 and 10 of Paper Girls, and sort of see how these two storylines ended up, and then kind of discuss our direction moving forward. Let's start with Paper Girls, since there's less going on there. So Paper Girls kind of concludes the story of our protagonists who are in the present. They were time-traveled forward to 2016 and met the future version of one of them, the new girl, Erin, and dealt with some time-traveling beasts, and then a younger time-traveling version of Erin as well, who turns out to be a clone. They sort of wrestle with those problems and then end up back in the past into what seems to be kind of a prehistoric era. Perhaps the last image is of a mountain with a what looks like kind of like a Nazca line style drawing of an animal with a Apple logo. So continuing the kind of mystery of how technology has seemingly influenced these various sort of points in time in an incongruous way. So did anything stand out to you in these two issues as we conclude this Paper Girl story, as far as story or character development goes?
This left me wanting to get into the next part of Paper Girls.
Yeah, why?
The few things I didn't really like, well, the one thing I really hadn't come around on was the whole old-timers versus kids thing.
Yeah.
Still, that's my least favorite part, but I think we get a little bit more clarity on what's going on with the old-timers, or at least a few more breadcrumbs that make me a little more interested, and it doesn't just feel like some weird Steve Jobs society.
Yeah. It's not just sort of like boring adults versus rad teens. There's something else going on, which is much more complicated.
Yeah, they seem to be some sort of like progressive monoculture.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. What happens is their leaders, I guess, are presumably some high-ranking people, including the old guy who's kind of been
grandfather.
Yeah, set up as the leader, show up on an airship through a time rift or a space rift or whatever.
Yeah. It looks like a sort of Renaissance-style building
Zeppelin,
with
the
Zeppelin on top of it, yeah.
We learn that they praise the god Kali, and they're kind of a religious order in some way.
Yeah.
We see that they clone people.
Yeah.
But you know, he's also wearing a Woodstock t-shirt.
Right.
So it's still mysterious.
Grandfather's wearing a Woodstock t-shirt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember with him with a Public Enemy. Yeah. Has it been switching?
Yeah.
Different shirts?
Yeah, there's a Wu-Tang shirt at some point. Like there's there's a Led Zeppelin shirt. It kind of goes around.
Right.
I thought it was very cool that we got a hint of other Erin's world. We see it through a rift, and it's like this weird, super futuristic society.
Yeah.
In the ocean.
Yeah. And we learned that she was cloned, so the second younger version of Erin was cloned by the two teenagers who helped them in the beginning and saved her life, which is an interesting twist.
According to her,
it's true, yeah.
So I did like that the don't trust other Erin ended up with a decision where they chose not to trust that Erin, and they decided to trust older Erin.
Yeah.
But it's not entirely clear that was the right decision.
Right.
But they stick with older Erin. Well, she ends up staying behind, but they follow through with her plan, and where it ends up is they jump into this rift, and they end up what seems like another world. The colors are starkly different.
Right, and KJ has been there for a while.
And that's where KJ is, right. So they get back to their friend. And then this last panel is super weird. It's a mountain with like a demon goat Nazca line kind of thing.
Yeah.
Holding an apple symbol. And not only that, but the colors are, the whole book is purple and pink and brown. You know, in various shades of that. It looks great. And these last couple pages are blue and green, and it feels very stark in comparison.
Yeah, there's a stillness to that color and design that you don't get from the previous one. It really reflects a change of mood and atmosphere, too. This sort of feels like a more natural, earthy setting, whereas the action from the previous sort of scenes feels chaotic and energetic and threatening.
Yeah, this feels safer.
Yeah.
I don't know, except for that goat's pretty menacing.
Yeah, sure. Definitely.
There's definitely some.
But the coloring is sinister. I mean, I think it's supposed to at least make you believe that.
And it's got the Nintendo font, so that's always pleasing to me.
Right. The standout moments for these issues for me are the moments between the younger Aaron that we know and the older Aaron.
And the older, younger sister. There's a couple of nice.
Yeah, that was great, too.
Yeah.
The very end of issue 9, when Tiffany reveals that the younger Aaron thinks the older Aaron is crazy, and sort of they kind of have this little teary moment where she's confronting the fact that her past self is kind of embarrassed by her present self and doesn't trust her, was a really, I thought, a nice sort of emotional beat. And then even the moment at the end of the helicopter, it's a bit cheesy, but when she says, you know, if you want to help me in the future, like, stay friends with these people because they're the only people that...
Yeah, I liked that too.
She says something like, don't be afraid of other people, right? That was a really nice moment. It captures a lot of what I think is the important, you know, theme of this comic or the series, which is growing together and sort of sharing trauma, essentially. I thought those were really, really nice moments.
Yep. We got a few more hints about whatever this war is that's going on.
Yeah.
Presumably, you know, half of them, one faction is the old timers in the sky, and the other faction is whatever's going on with other Aaron's sea world. Though there could be more to it than that, we'll see.
Yeah, we just don't know.
And we also learned that whatever happened with those time traveling teens encrypted their DNA, whatever that means. So
right.
They're not able to be detected, tracked by the old people, and that makes them somehow more desirable.
Yeah, they're dangerous. They sort of seem to have this like almost revolutionary aspect to them. You know, that'll become important later on a little bit too. One thing I like that's in the back of this collection and also in the issues is you get the high school picture, I guess middle school pictures of the creators, and they're pretty funny. Brian K. Vaughan's middle school picture is pretty bad.
It's on mine too. It's nice.
Yeah, like that's very funny.
It's got the little middle school blurbs too.
Yeah.
Mine also has a nice section that has, which I've talked about before, that I really appreciate, like preliminary sketches.
Oh, yeah.
In particular, it's got this one where you can see the same picture from a few different stages.
Right. So this for me was the last time I think I really felt like I knew what was going on, Paper Girls.
Oh,
right.
Great.
Yeah. So a couple issues from now is the point where I considered dropping it, and I kept on reading it, and I just read the most recent issues today. But yeah, this is where I started to maybe question what was going on in the larger narrative of the book. I'm not sure I was right or wrong, but I did continue reading just out of sort of genuine curiosity and interest, but it becomes more complicated.
And you've continued reading to this day?
Yeah.
About where are they now, issue-wise?
I just finished 24, okay. And I think I read somewhere that Vaughn has a plan for either 30 or 35 or something like that, but that's just unsubstantiated rumor, so it might not be the case, but I think it's supposed to end sometime soon.
If that is the case, you'd keep reading to then?
Definitely.
What if he announced that it was like, okay, we're going to stop at issue 100?
It's becoming a saga.
Yeah, not that bad. Because there's more propulsion to the plot than Saga. 100 would be maybe a bit much for this series. I don't think you'd stand too much more than 50. But if it was 50, I would keep reading for sure. So like my question, Brick, you said you were going to keep reading, or you wanted to keep reading this. Do you think you will, or?
I will probably wait until the next big, which I just looked it up, it comes out in April. So in April, I will probably read more, like the next big version.
Yeah, hardcover.
Yep.
Dave, what about you?
Well, I have the third trade paperback, which has issues, I don't know, 11 through 16, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think I'll read that, see what happens, see where I fall at the end of that. It's already in my possession, so
right,
what the hell.
Well. Yeah.
If I had to go out and buy it, I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm in it enough to make it a point to go get more of it.
Yeah. What do you think?
But we'll see what happens after this new turn in this new setting.
Right. Yeah, the setting changes pretty substantially, and there is some interesting stuff that happens, definitely. I'll be curious to see what two of you think.
Right. I mean, I kind of feel like if you get confused by something in a comic book, I'm going to be totally clueless. And at that point, then, yeah, I would probably drop it.
Yeah. I'm kind of wondering if part of my problem is that I keep trying to hold on to the larger picture, and I'm not sure that Vaughn even wants me to. I should just maybe kind of let go and go with the ride. It gets a bit aggravating where I just want to know more about why we're doing this. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Shade then. So Shade, we have four issues to conclude here, issues 9 through 12. Finishing out the first volume of the series, it ends at issue 12 and then it goes on to be...
Second volume. Oh, the first volume of the series, including the woman?
This is the first series, and then it sort of ends and becomes Shade the Changing Woman at issue 1. And there are 6 issues of that, which just finished.
Oh, there's only 6 for that?
Yeah, that ended prematurely. Here we have Shade kind of concluding her adventures as a runaway. This sort of second arc has mostly concerned her leaving her hometown after the prom incident and sort of exploring the world around her. She goes to Gotham. She goes to the concert, the Sonic Booms, and sort of causes some mischief there. And then she goes to Hollywood to meet her idol, Honey Rich, who's the star of the sitcom in the backups that you guys had missed because of the publishing of those trades, which is unfortunate. Mm. That would make a lot more sense if you'd been reading those backups all along, and it's kind of crazy. It concludes with her, kind of all the threads come together. Shade and Honey and her two friends from school, River and Teacup, they find her in Los Angeles. Her kind of jilted lover from her home planet, Lepuk, shows up. And then even Melu, with sort of the sinister head of the program that's hunting her, and then Rackshade, her sort of like poetic idol, all kind of come together in this last issue, and things are sorted out, and we kind of end on a new paradigm. Brick, earlier you said you weren't sure if you enjoyed this.
The ending, the Rackshade stuff, I think it added more things I didn't know than I needed in a final issue of something.
What do you mean?
I don't know anything about Rackshade, and I didn't...
Right, you don't know that backstory with him and Melu.
Yeah, I only know what was hinted at a couple of issues ago.
Right.
So it seemed distracting. It seemed like it was wrapping up something that I didn't know needed wrapping up, I guess.
Right.
I liked a couple issues back, issue 9, I liked that when she goes to the Sonic Booms concert, and she's like, why are these guys so old?
Yeah.
And then what she decides to do is make everyone in the building young.
Yeah.
Using the madness or whatever. I liked that, and she kind of accidentally sowed a little chaos in the city.
Yeah.
Where we see, like, everything's kind of thrown haywire and the cops are everywhere because there's suddenly a bunch of baby boomers that are teenagers again running wild in the city and being feral teens or whatever. I thought that was pretty interesting. And then the issue after that, she just leaves all that behind and goes to Los Alamos, and that's when I started to be like, this is kind of annoying.
Interesting.
And then she does the body switch thing, which I didn't really like that much, but it did pay off pretty well in the final issue, so I was a little more willing to forgive it because of how they concluded that little mini arc there.
Yeah. I like how it raises the stakes on her body. There's the discussion of, you know, Loma is sort of in preservation on Meta, and her spirit's in the body of Megan. You know, they're not, and they keep having that her body is dying, you know, as she's been away from it, and sort of what happens. So there's this kind of raising stakes of, well, she can switch bodies now, but if it's an old body, like, she's gone forever, right?
Which almost happens.
Yeah, and that sort of gives that nice conclusion, nice sort of, you know.
Though it was a little weird that Megan's body gave birth to another Megan's body.
Yeah, so if you remember, that was the end of the last arc. Megan sort of inhabited her reproductive system.
But she took the body, so... Megan is dead.
Yeah.
And Loma is reborn, or Shade is reborn, looking just like Megan, but it's no longer Megan's body.
Yeah. Looking like similar, but a bit different, too. She has, like, the hair is kind of different, like longer nails. She feels like a more matured version of herself.
Gotcha.
Right?
I liked how it kind of ended, where Megan's dead. As far as the aliens know, Loma's dead. Honey's dead. So she's kind of reborn into anonymity almost.
Yeah.
She still has the coat, though, which means they're not going to forget about her.
Right.
So Melu gets the coat for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then uses it to visit her old boyfriend.
Mm.
So I don't get the Melu and Rack thing, and I still don't understand the invasion stuff that she keeps talking about, Melu keeps talking about. It doesn't seem to be here. It just keeps being mentioned.
Yeah. That sets up the next series. So the invasion becomes a lot more important in the future.
Well, I'm sorry, what does?
The discussion of invasion. Sort of being invaders. But there's a sort of like sense of alien paranoia. You know, even Loma tells Lepuk that
I just don't
leave.
It seems like getting the coat would be Melu's chance for the invasion, and that's what she's been talking about.
Yeah.
But then
she really just wants to see Shade, or Rack, rather.
Yeah.
Like, her ambition is just to go, like, to find her old boyfriend and reconnect.
Then why do we need the invasion thing?
I think because sort of like it sets up this idea of there's a tension between Earth and the rest of the universe.
A one-sided tension.
Yeah, because Earth doesn't really know, and so they're kind of figuring it out now, right? So we have these scientists who will observe, like, oh, there's been like 2 or 3 blips of people coming back to, you know, when the Medans come back to try and lure Shade back, and they murder those people in the bar,
right?
Or like she does, rather. The humans are more aware now, and there's that part where those scientists have collected samples of madness and discuss turning it into a weapon, right? I like there's this resonance with the issue about Los Alamos and nuclear weapons, the sort of sense of reckless development of technology and paranoia that sort of turns into something that ends up dooming a civilization. But you're right. I think it's a bit tangential.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be all the way there.
Yeah.
So it's a little unsatisfying.
Yeah.
not related at all, but one thing I liked about these last few issues was there's a few panels where they just do really weird stuff.
Yeah.
In either 9 or 10, there's like a little board game.
I love that.
Right.
And I think 11, there's paper dolls of the characters.
Yeah.
And then in 12, there's a weird thing where it says, put the pencil in the middle of the page and spin it. And then the three threads of the plot, they all have a couple panels. And it says, read them in whatever order you want. Because these things are happening simultaneously. And that was just a weird way of doing it, but it was kind of neat.
Yeah, it's a cool way to play with the format. I didn't do it this time, but when I first read it, I did that. I got a pencil out and sort of let it randomize my reading, which is very cool. What I like best about this, the end of the series, is that it allows Shade to grow up and sort of mature. Even her sort of physical style, like when she shows up at her own funeral, or Megan's funeral rather, she's wearing like a dress and a sport coat made of madness, but she just seems a bit, you know, sort of sharper, a bit more mature, a bit more grown up, and sort of it allows there to be some development and growth. We've sort of seen this character go through a lot of, you know, unvarnishing of reality. There's a lot of the moments in these last four issues where she is excited and kind of naively optimistic about Earth, and then she realizes the truth about it. You know, she wants to see the band that she loves, but they're old, and then she makes people young again, sort of realizes that doesn't quite work. She goes to see her idol, who's also old, and she realizes that, you know, everyone's acting. It wasn't real. She wasn't this character. She was just an actress, and her hopes and maybe her pretensions have been sort of stripped away, and now she's left with the reality of being someone who lives on Earth and has to reckon with that. And I kind of like that optimistic, but also maybe...
Yeah.
Somewhat sinister.
I think her character arc wraps up nicely here.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed that Teacup and River's story wraps up nicely too, but the rest of that high school plot really got dropped.
Yeah, I agree.
It just after the prom, it just was more or less gone.
Yeah.
And I felt a little let down by that.
Yeah, I'd love to have seen more from Wes and the other swimming.
Yeah, particularly because Megan was in a way pregnant with Wes's baby. Her body was, even though when honey takes over the body, she quickly is like, oh, you're pregnant.
Yeah.
And we know it's the space baby thing.
Right.
But the physiologically, she's like, well, I did have sex with Wes. So physiologically, the implication was that Wes impregnated Megan's body, but I don't think it's supposed to be Wes's baby in her. It's supposed to be whatever else, but...
Yeah, but when they're having the conversation, Honey explains to her what sex is, and she says, we didn't do that. So
no, she said, yes, I did with Wes.
Yeah.
No, there's...
She said this body said did like with a, Wes. Yeah.
Is that why the last panel of Megan is her with, like, something having burst out of her stomach? That's supposed
yeah,
to be
that was the new body burst out of her.
The
yeah.
body of Shade.
Yeah.
Who is earthbound for good now, right?
If I'm understanding correctly. I think so, but she still has the coat, so maybe not.
So... Okay. This is on issue 11. She says, I thought you had to at least be naked. Honey says, you don't have to be naked. Do you know how human sex works? Shade says, I figured maybe you humans didn't lay eggs. Honey says, okay, so let me tell you. And the panel, she's making a circle with one hand and a finger with the other, implying penetration. Shade says, ah, why are there so few holes? And the last panel says, also, I didn't do that. And she says, well, you are pregnant. Oh, look, they're filming something. So she slept with Wes in the bed, but didn't actually have penetrative sex with him.
All right.
So... That is, her understanding of sleeping is not the same as sex.
I see.
So the thing was supposed to be just the little spore of Megan.
Who is now Shade.
Yeah, like it's like what's left. Taking that body and turned it into, you know, her own.
Well, that doesn't change the fact that it didn't wrap up the high school stories. And
right, no, had. I agree. I do like how that puts it's not subtle at all, but it's a nice, I think, message or discussion of... reproductive rights and your body's rights, right? She's asserting authority over her own and autonomy over her own body. There's a part where Honey says people think your body's there belongs to theirs when it doesn't really. It's a nice sort of discussion of abortion rights. That it's really cool.
Does this set up Shade the Changing Woman at all? Do you need to have read this before you read that?
Yeah, probably so. Because all the characters are the same. But so the next series, the first three issues are fantastic, and then it kind of falls apart. Okay. And as I told you earlier this week, I think. What happened was they were planning for another 12 issues and then got canceled halfway through, and so they had to wrap it up in 6. And the last three just feel rushed and weird, and it's not satisfying at all.
Do you feel like this Shade, the Changing Girl, was supposed to be 12 and that they did everything they wanted to? Okay.
Yeah, I think it was 12 issue arcs, you know, two trades, kind of like collects nicely, and they just had to compress it like that.
Did you like this ending?
Yeah, this is great. But anyway, this finished for me really, really strongly. All the threads came together. I liked the new direction for it and was looking forward to what happened. And then, like I said, that direction really paid off for a while and just didn't. So let's wrap these up. So in the future, we'll do more comics reading, but we're going to do a different version of that, less following the same series and more kind of like dipping in and out of other issues and titles here and there and talking about comics more generally, which would be, I think, really cool. So if you have suggestions for titles for us to look at or consider, tell us on Twitter at YakBabies or email us at yakbabiespodcast@gmail.com and let us know sort of what titles you would like us to discuss or read and consider.
Especially if you have two that kind of go together.
Yeah, themes are always great. Connections. Yeah. Excellent.
Great.
YakBabies, yakking off.
In a myth, attractive as it is, I'm abandoning this, cause we're older fashioned and those bad languages, it's a swift decision as I can't handle this, as outlandish as this band plan is, you start to understand that there's more to all of this, beliefs so persist, how lucky life is like this, quite possibly the brightest on the list, that's because within it, the music exists, which is higher than the place the wish to be rich sits, the risk it fits of lame brain misfits, I still insist, the tunes give the best bits, it's a jumbled, not feeling humbled collection, a way of questions unintentionally discovered, now no letting go.